not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of the idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have now to just quiet down and to listen and to read your word. Thank you for young people like Anna who desire to know you and desire to and are willing to stand before and, us and read, but most important of all, to read your word. Thank you for the time together that we have to study your word and to understand it. And I pray that you will help us as we take a moment and we study your word to grasp it. I pray for the folks that we have mentioned this morning, for Chris's grandmother, for David's mom, for Butch, and others who are on our hearts. We pray for Alan and as he tries to recover from the infection that he has. Thank you for this time together. And as we honor our moms and the women in our lives who have made a difference, we pray that we will leave here with a renewed desire to show them and tell them how much we love them. And I pray for each woman, every woman who is in this room this morning, and that they will desire to be women of God, women who pursue you and desire to know you. And Lord, I ask that you might open your word up to us. Help us to understand it this morning. And then I pray that as the message is brought, you'll help me to step aside, that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For his name I pray. Amen. Before the sermon, I'm going to show you a video. But I also failed to mention that Loba asked me to mention the Women of Faith payment is due today. And if you're going to the Women of Faith, which is kind of ironic, we're talking about women today, please see Loba afterwards. I want you to watch this video, if you would, please. As I was studying for this message, I was reading a book or rereading part of a book called Captivating by John and Stacy Eldridge. And John wrote Wild at Heart, and then he and his wife wrote Captivating. And I saw some of the lyrics to that song and one of their references. And so I decided to go to YouTube and find it. And when I went there, there are myriads of videos of this song, one of them by Demi Lovato, who is admittedly had problems with her self-image. This song has become an anthem for cutters. For those of you who don't know what a cutter is, it's a person who has practiced self-mutilation with cutting their arms, legs, stomach, and elsewhere. I had an experience with a cutter whose life was just spiraling. It's really hard in the culture in which we live to think that beauty is anything more than outward. And no matter, and I'm going to have trouble with this, no matter how much as a parent you love your child, and how much as a parent you try to show them that they are beautiful, it's tough when you have a daughter who thinks she isn't. And you think she's one of the most beautiful women around. Who at the age of 38 almost is still single and thinks it's because she's unlovely. But you have to understand that our culture lies to us to tell us that beauty is only on the outside. And I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm not alone, because you know people as well as I do. Men and women, teenagers and older people, athletes and nerds, whatever you want to call them, who don't feel good about themselves. They think they are worthless. They think they're ugly. They think they have nothing to give. And I think, my personal opinion, okay, women suffer this more than men, because we have a culture that puts so much premium on the way you look on the outside. You know what? That stinks. If I could use language like I hear, I would tell you exactly what I think of it. But let me just clean it up and say it's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. Because you see, beauty is more than skin deep. What I want to do today is, yeah, I want to focus on women. I want to focus on moms. I want to focus on who we are on the inside, because that's what really matters. And it doesn't matter, you know, we struggle. I mean, perhaps you have struggled. Maybe you've struggled with your weight. Maybe you've struggled with your height. You're not tall enough, you're too short, or you're too tall. You know what I mean. Maybe you've struggled with your appearance. You know, maybe you say, well, I'm the wrong shape. Or maybe you've struggled with having the wrong kind of hair. You know, my hair is too curly, my hair is too straight, I don't have any. You know, and we struggle with things like this because they're all surface. All they are is surface. But I want you more than anything else to leave here today knowing that beauty is more than skin deep. And Proverbs chapter 31 tells us that. So what I like to do is I want to lay the groundwork first, and I want to talk about what does Eve bring to the table, and then I want to talk about what values she brings. I don't want you to take it wrong when I call you Eve. If you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis is famous for using a reference to people here on earth. He calls them sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. And so when I call you Eve, don't think, well, he's trying to tell me to go back in the caveman. No, I'm not. But the question is what does Eve bring to the table? Last week, I talked about men. And I said that there was a basic teaching out of Wadded Heart that I subscribe to. Every man has a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. But what John and Stacy did was take that saying and put it into women as well. And as I look at this, I think, you know, there are certain things that women bring to the table, obviously, that men don't bring. But that same idea, every man has a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue, can also be applied to women. And here's how it is. First of all, Eve, or she, has a desire to be sought after. She has a desire to be sought after with all her heart. What we know is one of the things that separates women from men, not all, but most of men and women, is that Eve had this desire for a relationship. When you get into dating and you begin to fall in love, that's in quotes because I don't think you fall in love. It's too easy to fall out of if you do fall. Never mind. What I'm trying to say is most women desire relationships. Most men desire conquests, especially if you're a teenager. But women desire a relationship. They desire to be sought after by their pursuer. God says, seek me, what? With all your heart. You see, within the heart of a woman is basically the heart of God, is seek me, desire me, pursue me. He also says every man has a battle fight, an adventure to live. And the second part I want you to see is she desires to be part of the adventure. Guys, I'm going to be very blunt here. When we pursue something and we don't include our wives, we are basically telling them that you're not part of my adventure. I want to give you a personal example, if you don't mind. One of my bucket list items was my desire by the time I turned 50 was to bike ride cross country. It didn't happen. And at 60, I probably will not happen at all. But when I started talking about this, I wanted to include Joe in my adventure. Besides the fact that I wanted her to enjoy it with me, she would not have allowed me to go without her. But I wanted that. I wanted her to be part of my adventure. She wanted to be a part of my life, something that I enjoyed doing. Guys, we need to ask our wives, do you want to be part of this? Do you want to be part of my adventure? I don't want to leave you behind. I want to bring you with me. And the third part is she has a beauty to unveil. She has a beauty to unveil. Oh, by the way, I left out a part. Right there where it says the word helper or helpmeet is actually a combination of two words that in the Hebrew mean lifesaver or counterpart. Isn't that a cool picture? That God desires that he be a vital part of our life, and the woman wants to be a vital part of our lives as well. She is our counterpart. She is our lifesaver. And the third one is that she has a beauty to unveil. And please understand this, as I've tried to say all along, this goes far beyond the physical. Some of the most shallow people you will ever meet are the most beautiful women, because that's all they have going for them. Nobody ever looks beyond the face or the chest. Nobody ever looks beyond it. They never go to the heart. They never see what's inside a person. But we have to understand that when she unveils her beauty, she is saying, there is a whole lot more to me. Start peeling away the onion, guys. Because as you peel one layer, there's another layer. Peel another layer, peel another, peel, you know, and there's another layer underneath. And as you begin to peel away the layers, you find someone even more beautiful. because you get to the heart. And where a guy asks the question, do I have what it takes? A woman's basic question is, am I lovely? And I don't mean just physically. She's asking, am I lovely? That leads us to Proverbs chapter 31. Because the writer of Proverbs 31, who is Solomon, answers that question. Now I wanna let you know how I did this. I'm somewhat of a chicken. Now what I mean by that is I found it really difficult to stand up on Mother's Day and preach on Proverbs 31, telling the women how they ought to be. It's kind of like, you know, I'm up here, I'm fair game, you know, so the women want to take shots at me, throw tomatoes at me, whatever, you know, they can't. And so I started trying to do something different. A couple years ago, we had some of the women who, I went to them and said, would you pick a person out of the Bible, lady out of the Bible, who really means something to you? And for 2 years, we had that. We had about 4 or 5 women each year stand up and tell what woman meant so much to them. Well, I went to some women this year, and I said, it's Mother's Day, and they ran from me. You ever seen that one insurance commercial where she's taking a picture, and all of a sudden, the salesman from another company, one of them dives into a bush, and the other one dives into the back end of a pickup truck? That's how I felt. The women saw me coming, and they said, oh, no, oh, no. And so they started running. So I did something different. I went to some of them personally, and I said, would you please do me a favor? I would like you to email me or tell me 3 qualities that you as a mom try to pass on to your children. And then I went to the Ladies of Grace and handed them some paper, and I said, here's what I'd like you to do. Would you look at Proverbs 31 as a jumping off point and tell me 3 of the qualities that are there that you would like to pass on to your children? I was amazed at the response I had. It's probably because I didn't threaten them any to come up here, but I had quite a few responses. And so what I'm going to talk about from here on are the ladies' responses to me, okay? And I took them and I divided them up. We're going to see about, there's actually 4, not 3, that stand alone. They only were referenced once or twice. And then the final 3 are those that received the highest priority. Let me give you the 4 standalones. There's only 3 in your bulletin, so I'll add 1 to it. The first standalone was kindness. Look at verse 20, if you would. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Ryan and I have been talking about a group of young people called the millennials. The millennials were those who are designated being born after 1980. One of the things that the millennials have done good is they have drawn attention to the idea of kindness and mercy and social justice. Now, sometimes they have taken it too far and have left off truth, but for the most part, they have brought us more awareness of caring for other people, of caring for homeless people, of caring for people who are sick in the hospital with AIDS or some disease in the case of what the video showed, there is a ministry called With Right Love on Our Arms, referring to the Cutters. And a lot of this has been because millennials have focused on people. And one of the mothers talked about how she calls this compassionate love for others based out of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Another one of the mothers said this was compassion and empathy toward the needy. And so there is a desire to have kindness toward somebody else. The second standalone, and I've grouped these together, are grace and truth, boundaries, and right and wrong. I'm going to repeat what I said a couple of weeks ago. For all parents, it's required of all parents that we be the one who sets the boundaries. When we allow our children to set our boundaries, we are in trouble. So we set the boundaries, but we set the boundaries with grace and truth. We balance the two out, that there is grace and truth together. Yes, we show, we have these rules, that's the truth, but at the same time, we show grace. And they have to know there is a right and a wrong. There needs to be a clear-cut right and wrong. The third standalone is don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. There are too many women especially who focus on the small stuff. You know, I knew a woman who somebody came to help clean the house, to fix something in the house. He tracked in mud. She followed him with a vacuum cleaner. You know, that's the quickest way to not get any more help. Don't sweat the small stuff. You know, we had a philosophy in our house, and some people would walk in our house and go, holy mackerel. We had a philosophy, let your house look lived in. Our kids learn to pick up their toys, but not during the day. For crying out loud, let them have fun. Let the kids be kids, but don't sweat the small stuff. Don't be so controlling that your kids have no freedom. And the fourth one that is not on here, and as I went back this morning and looked at my notes again, the emails I got, the fourth one is generosity. That is one that someone said, if I could pick a fourth one, I would use generosity. Generosity in time, generosity with your possessions, and generosity with yourself. All right. So those are the ones that, you know, they received one or two comments. But there were three that were almost on every one of the comments, with the final one being on all but one of them. Number one, hard work. Hard work. This is really interesting because one of the things that almost every one of the women put down is, I want to teach my children to have a good work ethic. Verses 11 through 24 in Proverbs 31, almost the whole thing is about her work. I'm not going to take the time to read that. Anna did a superb job with it. You can read it on your own. But almost every one of those verses, save for one, which is verse 20, which we've already looked at, talks about a woman who has a work ethic. In fact, one of them said, you know, my children and I have been having a discussion recently about doing things for God's glory, from the smallest thing like brushing your teeth to the larger things like doing your homework. It's doing it for God's glory. But along with the work ethic came obedience. Here again, we're setting the boundaries. We're setting the right and wrong. And it's kind of like, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. You know, there needs to be obviously more than just because I said so. But our children learn obedience because of responsibilities that they have at home. That's number one. Number two that was given was honesty and transparency. This one kind of surprised me. This deals basically with being honest in all our dealings, with our feelings, with our dealings with our mates, with our dealings with our children, with our dealings with our siblings, with our dealings with work, with our neighbors, being honest and transparent. And as you show the honesty and transparency, you teach it with, here it is, unconditional love. I love the way one of the ladies responded and says, it's teaching it knowing that no matter what you do to mess up, it's not going to change how I feel about you. That's unconditional love. Verses 28 and 29, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. It's interesting to me that when you read this passage, it talks about, like in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You see, it's talking about his reputation, that when he sits with his friends, they respect him. They respect his reputation. And she plays a large part in that. So, guys, this is kind of a double-edged sword. We need to earn that respect and that reputation. But, ladies, we also need to be building up that respect and that reputation instead of tearing it down. And then there's one last one, following Jesus. I was thrilled to death. Obviously, as a pastor, I would be appreciative of this, that every response except one had this in here. It came in different ways. For example, fear of God, faith, devotion to God is number one. This is the response. And when you look at this, in my humble opinion, this is the most important one. And that's why I was so thrilled that it came back as the most responded suggestion. Look, if you would, at verse 30. Here it is. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. If a woman's relationship to Jesus is right, all the other values flow from that. And they find their root there. So the challenge, of course, is that, ladies, that you be women of God. That you be godly women. My mother went to be with Jesus in 2004. But I can tell you that if it had not been for my grandfather, but especially for my mom, I would not be here today. My father was not a support to her. And when it came to know about Jesus, it was not my dad who taught me. And other than my grandfather, it was my mom. A woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. And I'm going to step out on a limb here. Guys and young people, if you have a mom who loves Jesus, you are blessed beyond recognition. You are blessed beyond all that you can find. And if you haven't told them that, shame on you. Now, don't turn around and say, "Mom, I think you're great." Not right now. Tell them a little bit later on when they can collapse, you know, from surprise. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." No one is poor who has a godly mother. And if you have godly women in your life, whether it be your mom, an aunt, a grandmother, a sister, a cousin, someone who loves Jesus and has an influence on you, you are blessed. But don't let it go by without saying something. I want to close my thought with this. There were four scholars who were getting together discussing the best translation of the Bible. One of them, an older man, said, "I just love the King James Version. I love its beauty of language. I love its archaic type of speaking." Another one said, "Actually, I love the NIV because it's more contemporary, and I like the way it reads." And another one said, "Well, I really like the ESV because I like its accuracy. I like its closeness to the Bible." And the fourth one had been sitting there rather quietly until he finally says, "Actually, I like my mother's translation the best." Because he said she translated each page into life. And that was the most convincing translation of all. Enough said. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for your word. There's so much more that could be said, so much more that could be encouraging, so much more that we could find in that passage than what we've found. But Solomon and the writer of Proverbs has just laid out so much there that we cannot cover it all. But I pray that as the ladies have responded and as I've expressed their response, that we will understand how important the values are that we pass on to our children. Lord, as we go through not just this day, but each day coming, help us to make sure that the women in our life know how important they have been. And for the women who are in this room and who might listen to this on a computer, help them understand that they're beautiful. That it doesn't matter how wrinkled they look. It doesn't matter how much they think they weigh or don't weigh or what their hair looks like or anything like that. That's not what matters. Help them to realize that what's inside is what's beautiful. And it's even more beautiful when they're a follower of Jesus. And so that's my prayer this morning, is that each lady, each young person, each teenager, each young adult will understand how beautiful they are inside. Speak to each heart this morning. Help us to understand the importance of being godly men and godly women and godly young people. But thank you so much for the women in our lives who've made an impact upon us. But most important of all, I thank you for Jesus, who gave his life so that we might have life. And I pray that you'll speak to each heart here this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing this song. If you have a decision to make, I invite you to come.